Good morning and welcome. I'm glad to see everyone here today. Welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those watching via the live stream. Receive this call to worship from Psalm 63. God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry, desolate, without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory. My lips will glorify you because of your faithful love is better than life. Are you dry this morning? Are you thirsty? Are you tired and weary? Come to the Lord this morning. Find refreshment. Maybe you're filled with joy this morning. These are two opposite ends of the spectrum, two different places, one empty, one full. Just praise God this morning and allow Him to fill you. And if you're full already, allow Him to overflow you and allow it to spread to those around you and to your loved ones and the people that you go and work with every day. Just allow God to come and move. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you thirsty. We long for you. Some may be empty this morning. I just pray that you'd fill them to full and overflowing. Some may be full, Lord. Just give them even more. Fill this place with your presence as we worship you. Draw us closer to you, deeper in love with you, Lord. Grow our spiritual roots down deep into the streams of living water that you provide. Open our hearts, our souls, and minds to you and to your presence this morning. Give us peace and comfort that can only come from you, even as we go through the storms in this life. You are all that we want and need. In Jesus' name, amen.
So during this first song, we're going to take the offering to support our pastors. I was just talking with the team this morning about how the relationship of God and humans is that humans worship God because He deserves worship. It's just that as Christians, we get to choose that we're going to worship Him. At the end of time, every human is going to have to acknowledge God and worship Him because that's just the nature, that's how it works. But we get to choose, and God loves us, and we understand how He cares about us, and so it makes us want to worship even more. So I invite you all to stand and worship with us.
Thank you. All right, let's pray. So, Father, this morning, help each one of us truly make it all about you. We just ask that you truly open our hearts, that we aren't just speaking the words, we aren't just doing what we're told to do, but we are giving our heart to you. I pray that the rest of the songs that we sing this morning aren't just words, but they are truly our heart. They are us giving ourselves to you, Father. Help each one of us. Anything that's blocking us from growing closer to you, please remove it from our lives. Put it in our minds that this is something that needs to be gone, something that we can work on with you, that we can remove all these burdens, anything that's in our lives that needs to be gone, that we can grow closer to you. Help us. And this morning, we just give ourselves to you completely, Father. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
you. With all my heart, I want others to see that I worship you with all my heart, and that when I give 100%, it's to you. Just want to give you everything that I am, and pray that for each of us, we could find peace and feel your strength in our lives, that every breath that we take, every moment that we're awake, we could yield and give way to you in our lives, and that's not easy for us, that you would give us the strength and peace and the desire to do that. Just pray that you would open our hearts for what you have for us this morning, that Tony's going to share. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Room on the second bench, or if you guys squeeze together a little bit one way or the other, we have room right there. There we go. Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Good. Some of you guys are still sleeping because of the time change. Yeah, me too. Well, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about water. So, the Providence Spring. What's really important about this little building? Well, in 1864, the prisoners of Andersonville Prison, which is during the Civil War, they were trying to live on a water source that was contaminated. If you drank the water, you got sick. And so they were praying for either clean water or a way to be released. Because if they couldn't find clean water, they might have to try to dig a well. How many of you have ever tried to dig a well by hand? I used a machine, but to try to dig one by hand with a spoon. Because that's basically all they had, and they would have had to dig down like 70 feet to get to water. And these prisoners had been praying for a miracle. And one day a thunderstorm came. And lightning flashed, and it boomed. And when it hit the ground, a spring of water came up out of the ground. Yeah, exactly. Lightning hit the ground, and a spring of water came up. And those prisoners could drink water. And it wasn't dirty, it was clean. They could have something healthy to drink. And in 1901, the Women's Relief Corps, they built this monument in remembrance of the miracle that took place. Now, science tries to explain it away, but it was the hand of God who provided the water for them. In John 7, verse 37, John 7, verse 37 to 39. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flowing from deep within him." He said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So, is that what he's talking about? Like actual water, like flowing out of us? Not exactly. Not physical water. Yes, God can provide miracles like he did for the children of Israel in the desert, where he had Moses tap the rock and water came out, or like the prisoners in Andersonville, he provided water for them. Jesus is talking spiritually in our hearts and our souls. It can be dry and we can be thirsty because we're seeking and searching for God, but we keep following what the world tells us to do, and all that does is make us empty and thirsty. So I have a little example of that. See if I can spill water all over myself this morning. So this cup represents the world. And see, when I pour stuff in there and I go to take a drink, do you think I'm going to be refreshed and satisfied? No. Just like this cup with a hole in it, I'm going to be left empty and thirsty. It doesn't quench the thirst that I have. Doesn't refresh me at all. It just leaves me feeling worse than what I was before. See, God gives us joy and happiness when we have His Holy Spirit in us. And we receive that when we ask Jesus into our hearts as our Savior. We are filled with His Holy Spirit, and we're full and overflowing like that guy, but it's spiritual water, not physical water. And people all around us can see the difference in our hearts and our lives because we have this joy in us. No matter what happens, we can be filled with joy. And sometimes we have to choose to be filled with joy. So I'd like to pray for you guys. Then you can have a snack and head back to your seats. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these children. Pour a blessing upon them. I pray that you would draw near to them, call out to them. I pray that each one would accept you, Jesus, as their personal Lord and Savior, and that they'd be filled with spiritual water, that life-giving water that you provide. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack. Oh, I forgot I had a couple extra slides. That's all right. The boxes should be open, so you can just, like, dump them out and find one. All this talk about water has made me thirsty, so... Well, good morning again, and thank you for your prayers for my family and myself. They help carry us through each day, and they are appreciated very much. Our message this morning is titled, Shaped by Thirst. We're going to start in Exodus 17, 1-7 here in a few minutes. The Israelites were wandering through the desert, and they became thirsty. They didn't have tanker trucks filled with water going along with them. They could only have the water that they could carry, which wasn't very much when you consider that they would have to carry water for themselves and all their animals that they had with them. I mean, God did provide a pillar of cloud to go with them during the day to help keep the temperatures down, but walking through the desert, you still get thirsty and tired and hot. So how many of you have gone on a hike when it's really hot outside? I mean, I have. You try to prepare as much as you can. Okay, it's going to be really hot. I'm going to take extra water with me. But you know, you get to that certain part of your hike where you realize you only have one bottle of water left, and you're like, boy, I got like 3 miles to go, and I got one bottle, so if I ration that out a little bit, if I drink one third every mile, I should have water till the end, and I won't be too thirsty. So you walk, and you take a sip, and you keep walking, and you keep sipping at your water bottle until it becomes empty. But as you're walking and you're thinking, man, I only have this much water, what happens? You become more and more thirsty. For some reason, your body works that way. If I only got a little bit of water left, the level of thirst goes up. Maybe your parents did this to you, or if you've done this to your kids, right before you go on a trip, you limit the amount of liquids that they can take in. Like, if you're going to leave early in the morning, the night before, like 7 o'clock is the cutoff. You cannot have another drop of water after that. Because more liquid means more bathroom stops, and it adds a lot to your travel time because, you know, each kid can't stop at the same time. So you're stopping like 4 or 5 different times in a row for different kids, and it just gets frustrating. So you also try to leave really early in the morning, so they're kind of sleepy and they don't really know what's going on. And you're traveling, and you go, okay, we should probably stop to eat. They're getting hungry, and you go through the drive-thru to save even more time. You hand out their food and the cup of liquid that comes with it with the directions. Do not drink all of this. Only drink a little bit. Well, in about 3 seconds, you hear the slurp of an empty cup, and you're like, oh. You realize what they did. You didn't drink all your liquid, all your water, did you? And they're like, yeah, we're still thirsty. We want more. Yeah, that has definitely happened. That thirst, it drives us. We get a little bit of liquid and we just gulp it down, even when we're instructed not to. You have people floating in the ocean on rafts or because of a shipwreck or whatever. They're lost out in the ocean and they finally give in to that urge and they drink seawater. That desire, that thirst, it just takes over and they drink something that is bad for them, that will hurt them. That desire for water wins out over good judgment. So the Israelites, 2 years after they came out of Egypt, the number of fighting men, 20 years or more, was 603,000. So they estimate that the total number of people would have been 2.4 million people, not including animals. So this was 2 years before. So there would have been some growth, but this was a large number of people who were traveling through the desert. And they wanted water, and they were very thirsty. So Exodus 17, 1-7. The entire Israelite community left the wilderness of Sin, moving from one place to the next according to the Lord's command. They camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. So the people complained to Moses, "Give us water to drink." "Why are you complaining to me?" Moses replied to them. "Why are you testing the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water and grumbled against Moses. And they said, "Why did you ever bring us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? In a little while they will stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take the staff you struck the Nile with in your hand and go. I'm going to stand there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. When you hit the rock, water will come out of it and the people will drink." Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. He named the place Massah and Meribah because of the Israelites complained and because they tested the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Just look where they were traveling. They traveled down the bigger side of the V there to about where the triangle is. They're moving farther and farther into the desert, into the wilderness. And then their journey will continue on around, but they're moving farther and farther away from good sources of water. And they began to complain to Moses. And you can just hear Moses' frustrating response. Why are you complaining to me? Moses had no more control over the situation than they did. Moses said, why are you testing the Lord? So how were they testing the Lord? Well, we can see this in verse 3. It was their attitude, but the people thirsted. Thirsted there for water. They grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you ever bring us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? They were still focused on the land of Egypt. They were still focused on where they had come from instead of trusting in God who let them walk through the Red Sea. They doubted God and they continually wanted proof. I mean, where else have we seen that in the Bible? Oh yeah, Jesus. Everybody wanted proof from Jesus to do a miracle. Prove that you're the Messiah. So can you imagine what would have happened if they had a different attitude and they had faith in God? They first could have gone and praised God and thanked Him for the deliverance that He provided so far, thanking Him for bringing them out of Egypt, away from Pharaoh and the hardship that they faced. They could have worshiped God for protecting them, providing for them so far, supplying for all of their needs, instead of the places being named testing and quarreling. It could have been named something beautiful for God's provision. God answered them. He gave them water. He provided for them. He knew that they needed water before they even started complaining. He was testing them to see what they were going to do. Were they going to come to Him or were they going to complain? They let their physical thirst for water overpower their spiritual thirst for God. God in His abundance provided enough water for everyone in the middle of the desert. Just how amazing and powerful is God? Up from the rock in the middle of the desert, God brought water, fresh water for all those people and all those animals to drink. It wasn't just a little bit. And this is where it's believed to have happened. The thing that we must remember is that Moses was leading the people, but God was leading him. The people were complaining about God. They weren't complaining about Moses. They might have been saying this to Moses, but they were complaining that God was not providing for them, that Egypt was better than what God had for them. Their thirst was trampling their faith in God. This physical thirst was shaping them into unbelief. The people's thinking reverted back to their life in Egypt. They were slaves. They were abused. They were worked to death. They were groaning and crying out to God. And He delivered them. And they want to go back. Egypt, when they left, was destroyed from the plagues. The people were trapped between Pharaoh and the Red Sea. And God made a way for them to go through. And then He crushed the Egyptian armies. They were hungry and God gave them manna. And they were hungry and he gave them meat in the form of quail. They were thirsty and he gave them water. God provided for them in every way. Yet they thirsted for the life that they left in Egypt, that life that was killing them. Our thirst shapes us. So what are you thirsty for? John chapter 4 starts with the account of Jesus and his disciples. They were traveling through Samaria and they stopped at a town named Sychar. Jesus has a conversation with a Samaritan woman at the well. This is verse 7 to 15 in John chapter 4. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. "Give me a drink," Jesus said to her, because his disciples had gone in the town to buy food. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" She asked him, "for Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him, and he would give you living water." "Sir," said the woman, "you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water I will give him, he will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life." "Sir," the woman said to him, "give me the water so I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water," and have to come here to draw water. Jesus was physically thirsty. He wanted a drink. He also was starting a conversation. But he wanted to give out the living water that he had. In this conversation, there was two different thirsts, a physical thirst and a spiritual thirst. Just like we saw with the Israelites in the wilderness. This Samaritan woman had trouble understanding the term living water. She wanted this water so that she wouldn't have to physically go and draw water out of the well and carry it back to her home. She thought this would take care of a physical need. Jesus was and is giving out water to quench a thirst, a spiritual thirst. See, we can receive living water when we come to Christ and ask him for forgiveness of our sins and invite him into our heart as our Lord and Savior. This is the only way to quench that thirst in us. It's through Jesus. And God built that thirst in us so that we come and we seek Christ. The difficult part comes when we go through something tough and we begin to complain like the Israelites did in the desert, losing focus on what God has done for us. You get this battle of living water versus regular water. The times when you feel thirsty are because we're looking at the world and what it offers instead of God and what he offers. We drink the water from the world, and maybe for a moment we feel refreshed and satisfied. Yet a moment later, we are drier and more parched than we ever have been in our lives. We feel empty. And so wanting more, we guzzle down even more of what the world offers. But on the other side of this battle, We get to continually press into God. And He gives us a different kind of thirst, a thirst for Him, that we just need to have more of Him and drink in more of Him. He gives us a deep desire for communion with Him and a relationship with Him. We are shaped by the thirst that we have. If I have a thirst to press into God, and I follow through with that, and I actually go and I press into God, He will do amazing things. Then anything that I face in this life, it's going to take on a different meaning. Our attitudes will change. They will be different. Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through Him by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that afflictions produce endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we can go through the most trying things in our life and we can rejoice in the middle of it. How is that possible? Well, with man and the world, it's not. Not at all. It's only through God and that living water that He provides is it possible. Because for affliction to produce endurance, which produces character, which gives us hope, that's God at work. And because of that hope, we can go through anything. That hope in Jesus. That hope for eternal life. And that shapes us. It shapes us. It shapes the world we live in. Because the world we live in tries to steal our hope in every way possible. So what is shaping you? Is it the world? Or is it Jesus? So maybe you're thirsty this morning. Maybe you're thirsty for that living water. Are you tired of what the world is giving you? Are you tired of trying to satisfy that dryness in your heart and your soul with the world? Do you want to make a change? Do you want to receive that living water that Jesus talked about with the woman at the well? That living water that satisfies down in our souls. Maybe you'd like a refreshing drink of living water for the first time. Maybe you want to thirst for Jesus more each day. Maybe you just want more and more of that living water that Jesus is talking about. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you're thirsty this morning, raise your hand. Just raise your hand if you're thirsty this morning. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are thirsty for You. And if someone is coming to You for the first time, Jesus, just come into their hearts as their Savior. Forgive them of their sins and just quench that thirst in them. Grow them deep into You. Lord, I just pray that You fill us with living water, so that we can follow You. We just want more of You, Jesus. Fill us with more of Your living water. We are thirsty for You and not this world. Let your living water flow out of us. I just pray that it would flow out of us and reach many more people, that they can see where we are being refreshed, and that they would come to you and receive that living water as well. I pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Go in faith and trust that God has answered what you have asked of Him. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song. Will you stand for the parting benediction? Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son, in truth and in love. Go this week, be refreshed, receive the living water that Jesus has for you. God bless you. You're dismissed.